ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम भगवते श्री दक्षिणामूर्ति स्वरूपाय श्री दयानंद रूपाय परम गुरवे परमात्मने ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै शांति शांति विवस्वत् प्रभातं यथारूपमक्षम् प्रगृह्णाति नाभातमेवं विवस्वान् यदा भात आभास यत्यक्षमेकः स नित्योपलब्धिस्वरूपोऽहमात्मा निमित्तं मनश्चक्षुरादिप्रवृत्तौ निरस्ताखिलोपाधिराकाशकल्पः रविर्लोकचेष्टानिमित्तं यथायः स नित्योपलब्धिस्वरूपोऽहमात्मा यमग्न्युष्णवन्नित्यबोधस्वरूपम् मनश्चक्षुरादीन्यबोधात्मकानि प्रवर्तन्त आश्रित्य निष्कम्पमेकम् स नित्योपलब्धिस्वरूपोऽहमात्मा मुखाभासको दर्पणे दृश्यमानो मुखत्वात् पृथक्त्वेन नैवास्ति वस्तु चिदाभासको धीषु जीवोऽपि तद्वत् स नित्योपलब्धस्वरूपोऽहमात्मा यथा दर्पणाभाव आभासहानौ मुखं विद्यते कल्पनाहीनमेकम् तथा धीवियोगे निराभासको यः स नित्योपलब्धिस्वरूपोऽहमात्मा मनश्चक्षुरादेर्वियुक्तः स्वयं यो मनश्चक्षुरादेर्मनश्चक्षुरादिः मनश्चक्षुरादेरगम्यस्वरूपः स नित्योपलब्धस्वरूपोऽहमात्मा ययेको विभाति स्वतःशुद्धचेताः प्रकाशस्वरूपोऽपि नानेव धीषु शरावोदकस्थो यथा भानुरेकः स नित्योपलब्धस्वरूपोऽहमात्मा यथानेकचक्षुः प्रकाशोरविर्न क्रमेण प्रकाशीकरोति प्रकाश्यम् अनेकाधियो यस्तथैकप्रबोधः स नित्योपलब्धस्वरूपोऽहमात्मा विवस्वत्प्रभातम् यथा रूपमक्षम् प्रगृह्णाति नाभातमेवम् विवस्वान् यदा भात आभास यत्यक्षमेकः स नित्योपलब्धस्वरूपोऽहमात्मा यथा सूर्य एकोऽप्स्वनेकश्चलासु एकोऽप्स्वनेकश्चलासु स्थिरास्वप्यनन्यद् विभाव्यस्वरूपः चलासु प्रभिन्ना चला अङ्ग सु हेस् टु गो टु बिफोर् चलासु प्रभिन्ना सुधीष्वेवमेकः the book the print is not okay okay chalasu prabhinnasu dhishvevamekah and the su should go with the bhinnasu chalasu prabhinnasu dhishvevamekah स नित्योपलब्धस्वरूपोऽहमात्मा सीन् द नैन्त् वर्स् इट् वास् सेड् दिस् नो लेट् बि टेक् इट् ईसि बिका यु आर् अण्डर्स्टुड् वाट् आत्मा मीन्स् यु नो आत्मा नो So the Atma illumines all the minds, all the ahankaras, all the antahkaranani. Atma illumines all the antahkaranani. How simultaneously? Thereby, Atma illumines, illumining all the minds simultaneously. To the illumination of the antahkaranams, Atma illumines all the sense powers. Thereby Atma illumines all the physical forms, all the objects. So Atma illumines everything simultaneously. Like what? Just as the sun above illumines the opaque things, all the opaque things simultaneously. Just not illumine one by one. In the same way, the Atma also illumines all the mind simultaneously. So, Kramena Prakasham na Prakashi Karoti. We saw, explain that this. But here, in this in the new verse, what he says, you must understand the example. The one and the only sun above alone appears to be many in terms of reflections because of the plurality of the waves, the reflecting media. When the waves are many and the reflections are many, but the waves are moving, when the waves are moving, the reflections seem to be, reflections also seem to be moving. Reflections actually, because the waves move, reflecting media move, the reflections also seem to be moving. All the seemingly moving reflections, because of the movement of the seemingly moving waves, the sun also, what, even the sun is seems to be moving, the sun is firm. Sun does not move. The reflections seem to be moving because of the seeming movement of the reflecting media in the form of waves. And also, the waves are many, therefore the reflections also, what now, are many, they seem to be many. But actually speaking, see, one thing, two things here. One is number. How many reflections are there of the sun? How many suns are there? Sun is only one. The reflections of the sun are they many in keeping with the number of waves. And this waves are seemingly moving. These waves are moving. Therefore, the reflections seem to be moving. But really speaking, the seemingly moving, seemingly multiple reflections are actually of the only unmoving firm sun. Similarly, now why he talks about the waves here, the chalasu apsu? Let me tell you here. In the same way, just let me tell you the excellent and the good verse. In the same way, in every antahkaranam, there are manifestations of the only Atma. Manifestations of Atma, which is of the nature of knowledge. The antahkaranani are many, and in every antahkaranam, also vrittis are many. In all the antahkaranam, in every antahkaranam, in every dhi, the vrittis are many. And the vrittis keep what a fleeting. The vrittis, vrittihi itself is called kshanika. Antakarna vrittihi means, understand this, what I taught you already in the Mandukya class and all. Vrittihi, antakarna vrittihi is called vrittihi kshanika. This is called kshanam. This is kshanam. This is kshanam. Nodippozhudhu. It's called kshanam. A fraction of a second. Kshanam. Kshanika means how long does it take for us to do this? No? Similarly, here every thought comes up, remains, leaves, comes and goes. Every thought modification is called kshanika. But for us, now, all of you seem to be at now, as though the thoughts are there continuously, no? The same thoughts keep on going. But the forms which are there, the objects of perception, the thoughts, they are continuously present. Therefore, now you all seem to be, what, now your thoughts keep moving, but you are also not moving. Objects are not moving because constantly there is a same object is there. The vritti vishaya is the same. Therefore, we have this. So what he wants to say, the thoughts keep moving. In every thought, there is manifestation of consciousness. The thoughts are many. Therefore, manifestations of consciousness also are many. They seem to be many. The manifestations seem to be many because of the manifesting media, the vrittis, plurality of the vrittis. In keeping with the plurality of the vrittis, there seems to be the plurality of the manifestations. At the same time, the vrittis keep fleeting, they keep moving, the reflect manifestations also seem to be moving, but actually, these seemingly moving, fleeting, and seemingly plural, the manifestations are due to the vrittis, the plurality of the vrittis and the seeming movement of the vrittis. Actually, these manifestations are of seemingly plural, the moving vrittis, the manifestations are of the only firm, unmoving Atma. The only unmoving Atma. Atma is one. Atma is of the nature of one. No, Atma is the nature of changelessness, motionlessness. And we learned this word Bhagavad Gita. What is the word we saw? Of course, Napur has also taught the word Sthanuhu. Sthanuhu and Achalaha. No, Sthanu is a better word here. See, Achalaha, Atma is immovable because no second thing to move the Atma. Atma by itself does not move because on Sthanuhu. Sthanuhu, unmoving. Why Atma does not move? Because all pervasive. There must be some space where it is not for it to move, isn't it? Atma is of the reality, is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Thereby it is implied by the term Atma. And this Atma, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, is what now? Is unmoving. Isn't it? It's the nature of motionlessness, changelessness. Ever firm. The firmness, of nature of firmness. But still, and how many Atmas are there? Only one. But still, the manifestations of the Atma, the manifesting, the antakranani are many, and antakrana vrittis are many, but still all the manifestations in all the vrittis are what now? Seemingly many with antakrana manifestations are of the only Atma. And the seemingly moving vrittis, the vrittis, the manifestations seem to be moving because of the movement of the vrittis, but they're all of the only immovable, unmoving, changeless Atma. See, two things. One is movement, one is plurality. The two points are here mentioned. So, what are plural now in number? Manifestations are plural. And then they're all moving. All these vrittis keep moving, fleeting. Whereas the manifestations seem to be moving. But actually speaking, is seemingly moving manifestations and seemingly many manifestations are of the only firm, unmoving reality which is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Got it? This is the content. Finished. Nothing much. Because this is what the Buddhists failed to see, which we saw. I'm not doing all those things because I already told you. No? Why? Because for them, all the four different schools of Buddhas, one fellow says nothing is there. The other fellow says at least there is something. No, there is. But it's a fleeting consciousness, which means that the manifestation is mistaken for, manifest consciousness mistaken for the reality, and therefore they say what? It keeps moving. And even the modern science, they're holding on to the view the manifestation of consciousness is taken to be the beginning of consciousness, origination of consciousness. Consciousness cannot have a beginning, does not have a beginning, because it is of the nature of eternity. It is eternal, no beginning, isn't it? What has a beginning is manifestation has a beginning, because manifesting medium has a beginning. And manifestations are many because manifesting media, the antakaranani, the vrittis are many. And the vrittis keep fleeting, keep on moving, therefore the manifestations seem to be fleeting. But actually, Atma is what? One and the firm. That's what he says here. He gives the best example he gives, takes this and gives. Okay. See, ekaha suryaha. So we know, yatha, ekaha surya, yatha suryaha ekaha. Ekaha suryaha, anekaha iva bhati. We have to add that. Where only sun appears to be many, isn't it? Only sun, ekaha suryaha, what now? Anekaha, anekaha means many, appears to be plural, or many, where? Apsu, apsu means, see, apaha is a nitya strilinga bahuvachana shabdaha. Apaha, in English, you never say waters. In Sanskritam, ap means water, apaha, waters. We always use the word, plural word only, apaha, waters. And what is the locative of that plural apaha? Apsu. Is it? Apaha, apaha. We have it, adbihi. We have it, no? Adbiha, adbiha. Apsu. And apsu means what? Apsu in the waters. And which waters? Apsu, the only sun, seems to be many. When apsu, chalasu apsu, not suppose this, imagine earlier we saw sharava udakastaha. Sharavaha means a container, the clay container. In that udakam there's a water. In that water does not move. Sharava udakam is what? Sharava udakam does not move, isn't it? Sharava udakam remains still. In the still water there is a reflection of a sun. The still water, only one reflection. Whereas in one container, the water obtained, kept, the water in, contained in one container, has only one reflection of the sun. The many containers, now filled with water, have many reflections. But the reflections do not move. Why? Because water does not move there. The water, there's a still water. The containers. Whereas in the ocean, if you should go to really ocean and see on the Purnima day, full moon day, the waves would be very, very high, the big waves. Really, only on full moon day you have to go to the ocean to see them. On a full moon day, if you go to sea, you must have seen that, okay? You can't write to us. I remember, I've seen. On full moon day, if you go to the sea, you've got a really nice proper sea, the lots of waves, huge waves. And the waves will be what now? Moving, is it? And that is a chalasu apsu. Then chalasu apsu means what now? In the waters which keep moving. In the moving waters, I mean the waves of the water which keep moving, there what now? There are so many reflections of the sun. Not one reflection. Why they reflect? The waves are many. Therefore, there are so many reflections of the sun also are many. At the same time, and those waves keep moving, therefore, chalasu apsu, these reflections also appear to be moving. The reflections appear to be moving. The reflections appear to be many in keeping with the plurality of the moving waves. Chalasu apsu. Ekaha suryaha anekaha iva bhati. Where chalasu apsu. Chalasu apsu anekaha iva bhati. I am adding something, okay, to make it complete. It is thirasu api. Ananyad vibhavisvarupaha. Whereas, the same sun, the water remains firm. Like what firm means what? Sthiraha apaha. There is chalaha apaha, sthiraha apaha. We have moving water and then we have firm water or still water. Sthiraha means still water. In the still waters, the sunlight, the sun reflected in the still water appears to be firm. The reflection in the moving waters appears to be moving. Which means what? The sun does not move. Sun is unmoving. Sun is of the nature of motionlessness. But at the same time, the reflections also what now? Reflections are also of the nature of motionlessness. But it is reflecting media. The reflect only in keeping with the reflecting media, the reflections seem to be many, the reflections seem to be moving, but directly all of the one unmoving sun. Sthirasu apsu, in the still water, it remains firm. Reflection remains, manifestation, reflection remains firm. The chalasu apsu, the reflections are what now? Seem to be many and moving. Is it clear? Which means all the appearances are only in keeping with the reflecting media. That's what he wants to say. Sthirasu vibhavisvarupaha. Vibhavya Swarupaha means it seems to be firm. Ananyad. Ananyad means with inseparably remains firm in the Ananyad means inseparably remains firm in the firm, still water. Still water. In the same way, fully example is over. Okay, now we come to the Atma. In the same way, chalasu prabhinnasu dhishu. Now, prabhinnasu dhishu, chalasu dhishu. Now, dhihi means what now? Dhihi. Intellect, dhihi, we take it as antakkaram as a whole, okay? The whole mind. And dhihi, minds are many. How many minds are here? So many minds. There are so many antakkaranani. In all the antakkaran, all the minds. So, prabhinnasu, completely different. This antakkaranam is different from this antakkaranam, this antakkaranam, this antakkaranam. How many antakkaranani? So, prabhinnasu, prakarshena bhinnaha. Every intellect is completely different from every other intellect. Prakashena bhinna. Bhinna means different. Why? Every intellect is associated with a completely given different body. Isn't it? That is why from my hunger you cannot eat. If I eat, your hunger will not get appeased. Isn't it? If you are thirsty, other person, his thirst will not get quenched. Why? Prabhinna. Because prabhinneshu deheshu vidyamanaha prabhinnaha dhyaha. Completely different antakkaranani. Why prakarshena bhinnaha? Nowhere is connected. Antakkaranam are not all connected. Relatively they are different. Completely different. Each intellect, all the intellects are different. Very different. All the different intellects associated with the different bodies. Prabhinnasu dhishu. And in the prabhinnasu dhishu also what now? Chalasu. Chalasu means constant. In all the different antakkaranams associated with the different bodies, in constantly fleeting varieties of thoughts. In every antakaranam, the thoughts keep on moving, isn't it? In my mind, lots of thoughts are going. So, the constantly moving, constantly, continuously fleeting thoughts, obtaining in all these different antakaranam, different minds. There, yekaha. Okay, there's what now? It's a manifestation. The one reality, one and the only Atma, obtaining as the truth of all the different minds, associated with all the different bodies, having constantly, continuously feeding vrittis, thoughts. How many Atmas are there? One and the only Atma is there as the reality. Is there? Very simple. So, chalasu, prabhinnasu, dhishu. The su should go here. The su and the pakamonu. Evam, in this manner, ekaha, the only reality which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, obtaining the truth of, obtaining as the innermost of every being here, everything here, implied by the term Atma, and I and that Atma, I the self am that Atma which is ever of the nature of knowing. Is it clear now? Please see that if you don't understand, ask me again. Okay, now, this morning also I said this, even in the meditation class I mentioned it. I want to go ahead, but again I stopped actually, abruptly. See, the dhihi, in the chalasu dhishu, what chalasu dhishu? The minds, in every mind, the minds are different, but in every different mind, there are constantly, continuously moving, fleeting thought modifications, vritti parinamaha, and then varieties of thoughts, not one thought. No? And there are different thoughts. That's why there's a different, we say, there's a pleasure, there's a pain, there's a anger, there's a desire, there's a passion, there's aversion, there's a confusion, there's a, no? All forms of fear, anxiety, all forms of thoughts are there. Not only of the cognitions, not only the understanding, not only cheerfulness, not only enthusiasm. Even all these different emotions are also there. And all they keep coming and arriving and departing, moving. In all these thoughts, what is that one reality? Obtaining as the swarupam of all the reality, which alone is available for recognition as the swarupam of the aham vritti. Thereby, no, implied by the term Atma, I am that Atma. That is why, once you understand this fact, then you can say what? Who is this? Who is this? What is this anger? What is this jealousy? What is this anger? What is this hatred? What is this? Everything is what? What is this thought? Everything, you look at the maya, everything as the manifestations of the power, the manifestation of power of the reality, then you look at this Devi. And all the Devi, the manifestation presupposes what? Manifestation of the power of reality is manifestation of the knowledge itself. Which, no? That is the Chandi actually, you see, the reality itself, there is no power other than the reality. The power is of the reality. Therefore, every thought, every emotion is what? Manifestation of the power of reality, which is Devi. Therefore, you call Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Vritti Rupena Samsthita. Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Shanti Rupena Samsthita. Ya Devi Sarva Bhuteshu Bhranti Rupena Samsthita. is it, no? She who alone is in the form of Bhranti, she alone who is in the form of, like saying, it is waterless in the form of thought, the wave. It is this power of reality. Means the power cannot be without the reality, isn't it? The power of reality is in the form of every thought. Therefore, what we say now, reality is not the thought, but every thought is what? Sub thought form or manifestation of reality one. Antakranani are many, the thoughts are many, thoughts keep fleeting, the manifestations seem to be moving, but really speaking, all the seemingly moving manifestations are of the one unmoving Atma, the consciousness. Why am I saying seemingly moving thoughts? Because the thoughts really do not move, because thoughts themselves are not real. Thoughts themselves are not real. Atma alone is real. Atma has independent existence, and all the thoughts are mithya. Thoughts are mithya, therefore the movement of thoughts also what? Mithya. Was seemingly plural, seemingly moving thoughts are of the one unmoving Atma, the consciousness. Now, what about the external world? What about the actions? What about the functions? What about all the movements you see in the world? Traveling, going, coming, here and all that. We see that there's lots of movements. So, from the standpoint of the truth without which no action, no function, no movement, nothing is possible. We see all these movements, all these actions, the whole universe itself is what now? We talk about the movement, the arbitrary movements and all that. All these movements are what? Are they real? The standpoint of the Atma, everything else is mithya, whole jagat is mithya. And all the movements are what now? That's a mithya only, not real. That is what the whole jagat is what? Is seeming motion in motionless consciousness. Nataraja. So without the dancer, there cannot be dance. Isn't it? Can we dance without the dancer? No. Dance and the dancer are inseparable. So who is dependent on whom? Is the dancer dependent on the dance? Or the dance is dependent on the dancer? What existence? Tell me. For something called a dance to be there, dancer must be there. Dance does not have independent existence. Dance is something called dance cannot be there at all without the dancer. But dance is the dancer. Why? The dancer can be without dancing. So dancer can be without dancing. When the dance is not there, dancer can be without the qualification dancer, isn't it? Suppose we are all sitting here, we are all dancing. So what are we now? Suppose imagine we are not dancing. The dancer without a dancer can exist independently without the dance, without dancing, without losing, without the qualification dancer, dancer. But the dance cannot be independently without the dancer. Something called dance cannot be there, cannot happen without the dancer. Therefore, with the standpoint of the dance, dance is mithya, dancer is satyam. Dancer status is also mithya. Understand? But dance is not possible. Therefore, the dance itself is mithya, means dance is what? The dancer alone is satyam. Therefore, the whole jagat is dance, cosmic dance. There was a seeming motion in motionless consciousness. You saw this already. I have extended to the jagat also. He just takes only antahkaranam. See, to the point, being, just focusing only on the thing. Don't need to waste your time. Now all that you need to remember is what? The all pervade Atma, the word Atma is used by the absolute reality, your ultimate truth, the one and the only secondless non-dual absolute reality, ultimate truth, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, which alone is obtaining as the innermost essence of every being. And that reality is what? Actually, this I, tiny little, I don't know how to say that, how tiny it is. This peck actually says this I, you know, which is the individual itself is so small. In this individual, this I is just expression. I is only expression. I is the expression of the one of the thoughts. Antahkaranam, in the corner of the antahkaranam, is the subtlest manifestation of the knowledge. Subtlest phenomenon, the manifestation of knowledge, obtaining a subtle manifestation, I, which expressed is a sound word. And what is that I? Is a manifestation of that knowledge. Therefore, this I has to be resolved only in that Atma. See, imagine, see how huge this ocean is. How huge the ocean is. Huge ocean. And was the entire ocean, consisting and constituted of innumerable countless waves, for the truth of this, which and the entire ocean, everything, which is one and the only substance called H2O, isn't it? And one tiny little wave existing on the corner of that ocean, you know, the wave has to arrive at the truth of the entire ocean, to resolve its smallness, to say what? I am the ocean. To discover the fact that the wave is ocean, to see this wave needs to feel that it is the ocean. Wave is ocean has to be understood. You know, to resolve the sense of smallness centered on I in this wave, the, for which the wave has to see the truth of the ocean, of which it is a part, as its own truth. Do you see that, what I'm saying? The wave has to see the truth of the entire ocean as its own truth. And I, the wave, am water. And which is the all-pervasive, only reality, you know, of the entire ocean full of waves. Without which there cannot be ocean at all. In the same way here also, Acharya's focus what now? Only this prabhinnasu dhishu. Prabhinnasu dhishu is different antakranani. In each antakrana also there are so many seemingly plural waves, the thought waves, thought modifications. In all of them, there is only one reality. Which is Atma. The thoughts keep fleeting. No. For us, it seems, we say, I am going, I am walking, I am sitting. We also think, actually, but there is only seeming movement. There is no real movement. The Atma is ever firm, ever is of the nature of motionlessness. It's one. The only truth of the seemingly plural antakaranams and the seemingly moving thoughts.
Atma?
Yeah.
Because means, them moving in the wind.
Yeah.
The fact that I see them moving is due to vritti in the mind.
Yeah.
What am I seeing? What is it that gives the appearance?
No. They also move. That movement also is seemingly. Not only your vritti is moving. See, even if they are moving. The vrittis can perceive. The object of vritti can be firm, steady, moving, whatever it is. Object of vritti, we always say it is mithya. It has no independent existence. We talk about your vrittis, okay? There is no object outside without the vritti, Radhiji. Therefore, you see the movement, okay? Even if you see the movement, anything experienced, that's why the whole universe is a seeming motion. Why? Universe itself is mithya. All you say it is mithya. Whereas the moving are stable, firm. Everything is mithya. He has no independent existence, Radhiji. The moving leaf or a firm leaf, any leaf has its only object of your cognition. Therefore, mithya.
Yes, but in order for it to be an object of my cognition is showing a movement from there to there. It shows a change.
Yeah.
I see a change. As
there's no change. There's no such a thing called change outside of your cognition.
This is what I want to figure out. This is what I don't understand.
This is what I'm saying. These all pratibandhas come. Our own paradha come from Prasvami as a pratibandha. Listen and understand. The tree is ultimately moving, okay? Even when you fall asleep, there's a wind blowing, okay? The trees are moving. The tree can sometimes fall also. But if you fall asleep, there's no moving tree or a verbal tree. Your vritti must be there for this to be there. That's all. Don't go outside too much. It's all. There is no. If the vritti is resolved, Radhiji, where even the tree may be moving, but it is not there, doesn't move for you. The tree doesn't even exist and the vritti is not there. Where is the question of moving or remaining stable? Outside of your vritti, it is not there. What happens when I say, like Atma is the only truth of everything means, we feel that I should be, people come and tell that stories like this, no? I'm there in that. Not like that, not physically, not you cannot see that, not physically. You are already essentially there. But from the standpoint of consciousness, you cannot say that. Consciousness doesn't speak. You can only understand, resolve the ahankara, I sense in the consciousness as the truth. Because there is no such, there cannot be something called aham vritti without the awareness, the reality in the home of awareness or consciousness. And without the vritti, there cannot be cognition. Without the cognition, there is no object. The vritti, aham vritti resolves, all the vrittis resolve. Where is the jagat for you? Where the moving tree or without the firm tree? The moving object, the firm object, nothing is there for you. There is a vehicle which is moving. There is a house which remains stable. The sthavara jangama. No? The birds which are flying. The birds are flying. The bird is an object. The bird's life is an object. The bird flying is an object for you. Everything is only object. Whatever any amount of movements, motions you see, they're all not outside of your vritti.
That is what is said here.
That is what is here. Mithya means, mithya, it does not have independent existence. That's all. For this jagat, in any form, it is dependent on the antakarna vritti. And the vritti, the cognition. The cognition presupposes two factors. There's a manifestation of the power, of thought, and which is actually the manifestation of the knowledge. Okay, vritti, cognition. And there cannot be manifestation of the knowledge without the knowledge. That's all he wants to say. And your identity must be with that truth. That is moksha. That's all it says. Apart from that, you want to know what is happening, what causes the mood, etc. That's all with knowledge pertaining to knowledge within the realm of ignorance, the matter. That is science, physics. Okay? Aparavidya. I'm not saying anything about it. I'm not saying we have so much to know within the world. That is why kattadu kaimannalavu. Always what we know is only not even of the size of the fist. The world, what we do not know is as vast as the universe. What we know is not even of the fist size. What I want to say, this is so much in sun. We can, this mind can be used to know any amount of thing, discover any amount of the facts, subtle facts, within the realm of the matter. But all, even the discoveries of the facts pertaining to the matter, all science, definitely no. The more we discover, the more we can make use of these discoveries, science, and the more we can make our life, more comfortable. We can increase our comforts, no problem, but there's no moksha. Because the sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, centered on I, cannot be sorted out. It's a common human fundamental problem, which is the root cause of the samsara, for which all that we need is only the jnana. I'm not denying anything. There's so much to understand. Why the example, we don't stretch the examples on those things. The thing is, this ahamvrittihi, if you fall asleep, where is the jagat for you? This smallness is resolved. If essence is resolved in sleep, there's no pain, there's no pleasure, there's no sukham, there's no dukkham, there's no anger, that's what you call rest. Why? Only one vritti is resolved. All of these are resolved. There's a period of time you're free, relatively free. Unfortunately, when you are not knowing anything, knowingly the sukham is there, very nice, isn't it? That's why Shastram says this only Atma Jnanam Paravidya means. That's why, what is that by knowing which everything else is known as it were, it is said. It's not said knowing everything, because definitely Swamiji makes it very clear. Somebody says, no, if you know Atma, does it mean, computer science, physics, chemistry, botany, everything? No, that's not mean. You won't know, you will continue to be ignorant of everything. If I know Atma, that does not mean I know, medicine, engineering, everything. No, I'm still ignorant. Ignorance of the this is so much. So physics agyanam removes only physics. Physics jnanam removes only physics agyanam. So aham, what is vritti is? By resolving it, you understand, because everything else is that. The truth of everything is that. Why we say truth of everything is that? Because without the aham vritti, can there be any other vritti? Tell me. The aham vritti, naan irikkiren, when there is no knowledge, I am, can there be any other knowledge? Can there be any other thought, any emotion? I was fast asleep, I did not know I was, but there was lot of anger, jealousy or hatred, desire, restlessness. Would you say that? No. If all the thoughts have to be resolved, one thought has to be resolved. And physically you cannot do it. The mind is a meditation, it's a function. Mind is a function. So there's a time all the thoughts resolve. Aham resolves, all the thoughts resolve. There's a time all the thoughts are there. There's a time partially, the jumbled thoughts, again the replay of the stored, collected memories. It's a dream. But even in dream, you have subtle ahankara, sukshma ahankara. And there again is smallness. In dream also you see your enemies and friends. In dream also you have sampa. Abala prarabdha is exhausted. Durbala prarabdha. In prabala prarabdha, you exhaust in the waking. In dream also we have some fear. In dream also all the, not real, but in dream. As long as you are in dream, some parabdha is exhausted. But when the aham vritti is resolved, all the vrittis are resolved. It is made very, very clear. And that one vritti, which is expressed as I, is associated with what? The body, with the emotions. I am fat, I am tall, I am dark, I'm Tamil, I'm a woman, I'm associated with the body. Relatively, if we identify, we have to identify relatively, no problem. Relative identity is not denied. But we take this absolutely real for us. I identified with this, I identified with the pranas, I identified with the sense powers, I is identified with all your emotions. I am angry, as we never say. I'm angry, we say. Which means I identified with the anger, the jealousy, the hatred, the restlessness. Very, very natural. It is, Shastram does not say you should not do all those things, but it's very natural. Because why we usually say this? This I is not distant from all this. Not distant. There is a physical distance between I and all the thoughts or the knower and the known. You know, physical distance is not there. But it is distinct. That is why the identity is also possible. Problems. Therefore, only solution for this is, what this is, if you discover it, it is discoverable, and you discover it, then repeatedly dwelling upon it, you see there is no truth other than that. The only satyam is this. And everything else, all the vrittis are mithya. And the vrittis themselves are mithya means, without the vrittis, without the cognitions, there is no external world. That is why every time you see the world, where do you see the world? In you. You see the world in you, then you have to say the whole world is you. In fact, the whole world is you. Jagat is you. So you are the whole. This is, you know, this is only solution for the given problem. Bhavaroga nivartaka aushadam. Bhavaroga bheshajam. Bhavaroga bheshajam. This is not for anything else. So of course a lot of things to be understood. How in my perception, how it moves, what makes the plant look move. Now, all those things are different, completely different. So, bhava roga bheshajam. Medicine for removing the disease of samsara. Samsara means this life of, see, we are born, it's wonderful, you are born. The sense organs are there, the whole jagat is there for you to enjoy. Meant for enjoyment. But, definitely it is of both pain and pleasure. Why? Because half knowledge, half ignorance. Half knowledge, half ignorance. That is why in total ignorance there is bliss. In total non-identity there is bliss. In total knowledge, in right identity there is happiness. In half knowledge and half ignorance you have both pain and pleasure. In wrong identity is pain and pleasure. Isn't it? In total ignorance, there is non-identity. This I told you many times in the class. When there is non-identity, there is bliss. In total knowledge, there is right identity, there is happiness, fullness. And that fullness is not something which comes and goes, it is your swarupa. In half ignorance and half knowledge, there is wrong identity, is both pain and pleasure. For half knowledge, some pleasure. For half ignorance, some pain also is there. You got what I'm saying? In wrong identity. This, remember this, very, very important. I told you many times in the class. Non-identity, wrong identity, right identity. Total ignorance, total knowledge, half ignorance. I have taken you out of the thing, but still, is it clear? So the thing is, Sahan, that's why the last line is repeated. The last line is repeated, repeated and repeated and repeated. Saha, saha, nitya upalabdhi surupaha, aham atma. Nitya upalabdhi surupaha, atma aham. I is essentially the reality, which is ever of the nature of knowing, knowledge. Imply the term atma because of its nature of all pervasiveness. Why the last line is repeated? Because what is expected of the understanding, the meaning of the verses, ultimately, this, that truth is there as the truth of I. Therefore, I has to be identified only with that atma. I has to be identified. I should be resolved only in that reality. First of all, we need to understand repeatedly. It has to become very clear, very, very clear. Yes, wave is water, so I is awareness must become very clear. Then you understand that reality, you repeat it, dwell upon the reality in terms of its nature. Nature of the reality implied by different words, which is again called Nidhyasanam, isn't it? Ghanachanna drishtir.
Ghanachannamarkam.
Ghanachannadrishtir.
Ghanachannamarkam.
Yathanishprabham.
Manyate chati mudha.
Tathabaddhavadbhati. Yo mudha drishtehe. Sanityopalabdhisvarupohamatma. Tathabaddhavadbhati yo mudha drishtehe.
Drishtehe.
Sanityopalabdhisvarupohamatma. Saha nitya jnana swarupaha aham. I, the Self, am essentially the reality which is ever of the nature of knowledge, all pervasiveness, implied by the term Atma. But which Atma? He says, which Atma remains hidden? Hidden for whom? For the deluded. Mudha drishtehe. See, mudha drishtihi. See, mudha is a participle of participle, deluded. Mohaha, muhyati, verb. Mohaha, noun. Mohaha, delusion. Muhyati is deluded. Isn't it? So, mudha, deluded. Mudha drishtihi means for the person, the deluded minded. For the in the perception of the deluded, in the perception of the deluded minded, Baddhavat Bhati, I, the Atma, I appears to be bound. Baddhavat means what? Like. Baddha means bound. Again participle. Baddha. Baddhavat means I is really not bound. What is I? I is manifestation of the reality, manifestation of knowledge which is ever free. But this I, which is essentially the Atma, I is Atma. But the Atma appears to be bound, seems to be bound. For whom? For the, in the perception of the deluded. For the clear-minded, the person of clarity, in the perception of the clear vision, the person of clear vision, Atma is ever free. The perception of the deluded-minded, deluded person, Atma appears to be bound. Baddhavat bhati, na baddha. Atma is never baddha. Atma is never bound. Atma is ever free. But the ever free Atma seems to be bound, appears to be bound in the perception of the deluded. So, Mooda Drishtihi is what now? Drishtihi means perception here. Mooda means deluded. Drishtihi literally means even seeing also. But here you don't mean the perception here, the person with the perception, isn't it? So, Mooda Drishtehe means what now? For the person of delusion. Isn't it? In the perception of the deluded minded, Atma, the ever-free Atma, seems to be bound, appears to be bound. The Atma which is ever of the nature of knowledge, ever-free, seems to be bound in the perception of the deluded mind. Mooda Drishtehe Atma Baddha, I the Atma Baddhavat Bhati. Like what? He says, Arkaha. Arkaha is another word for Suryaha. So improve your vocabulary here. Vivaswan, Bhanuhu, Ravihi, Suryaha. Now you are coming to your vocabulary now. Arkaha. I remember, first, you know, I never forget this word Arkaha. You know, I like this word. I wrote this word. Why I like this word Arkaha? When I was very, 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 very young, I got a blue, green color lid. For me, so exciting. I should not talk about it now in between, I tell you. Because for me, only lead itself is a. For me, the I never got the lead pen, okay? Only with ink pen. The lead I got, what pen you. It's very something very special for us, which is not used in the schools. You ask only used in the other. So when I was very young, that not even I was in a fourth or something, I got this green color lead. Green color. Oh, only blue I got. The green was very colorful. I got the green. I wrote Sanskritam all first verse in the class. Then Arkaha, Arkaha, Apaha, Ajaha, we had all akar, we had right. This is Arkaha, like that word. Arkaha, Arkaha means sun. I mean, something exciting about that. I was so excited those days. When I come off the word Arkaha, Arkaha, I still remember that in my class in the notebook. Something, it goes with it. Arkaha. Because I only knew Suryaha, and I learned Arkaha, and also I got a green color lead. I was something very, it's not like nowadays you get everything, nothing is exciting. That's why the children know, no excitement for children, everything is easily available. For me, oh, that's such a great joy that I went out for everybody, all my friends. I got a green color lead, green color. I still remember those days. That's what I'm saying. Anyway. I also remember the place where is Saturn Road. Small joy, isn't it? Small, chinna inbangala deema. Okay, arkaha means suryaha. This arkaha, no, ghanaha. Ghanaha means meghaha. See, the Tamil, the ghanaha means weight, heaviness, isn't it? But here the cloud is called ghanaha. Ghanaha, ghanaha. Ghanaha, ghano, ghanaha. Ghana, why? Because every meghaha is pregnant with the water, loaded, heavy. Therefore, megha, the cloud is called ghanaha because it is pregnant with the water. It's heavy, with loaded with water. Isn't it? So, ghanaha. And ghana channa. Channa is a participle of, you know, chadayati. Chadayati covers. Achadayati covers. Channa, not chinna. Okay. That is, chinna is a broken. Channa is a covered participle. Channa means not our channa. Okay, Lalaju? Not our channa. Okay, say channa. Not channa, channa. Covered. Ghana channa means covered by clouds. This arkaha, the sun, covered by the clouds. Ghana channa arkaha. Ghanaihi channaha arkaha. The sun which is covered with clouds. It's called ghana channaha arkaha. Ghanaihi channaha arkaha. Ghana channaha arkaha. Ghana channa arkaha. Is it clear now? Meghangalal marekkappatta suryan. Ganatta. Srilankan Tamil, we have ganatta. Ganatta meghangalal marekkappatta suryan. The sun which is covered by this, isn't it? Clouds. Ganachanna markaha. And that, seeing that sun covered by clouds, moodadrishtihi, the person of ignorance, the confused minded, the deluded minded will say what? Oh, sun is covered by the clouds. Isn't it? He looks at the sun as the covered by the sun, the clouds. So sun is never covered by the clouds. Sun can never be covered by the... Sun is non-coverable by the clouds. Sun is never covered by the clouds. Clouds can never cover the sun. Even the sun being covered by the cloud, the sun, which seemingly seems to be covered by the clouds also, is not because of the presence of the sun. Isn't it? How do you know sun is covered by the clouds? Sun is really not covered when there are clouds, when the clouds seem to be covering the sun. You see the sun's, this clouds, the very appearance of the clouds, the very perception of the clouds is possible because of the sunlight only. Only in the very sunlight you see the presence of the clouds. Isn't it? If there is no sunlight, how can you see the clouds? The clouds which are seen in the presence of the sun. The clouds themselves, which are the very possibility of seeing these clouds, is because of the presence of the sun. The clouds which are seen only in the presence of the sun, only because of the presence of the sun, only because of the blessing of the sun, the very clouds are seen. And those clouds, when they seem to be covering the earth, sun, they appear to be covering the sun. And even the appearance of the clouds covering the sun itself is seen because of the presence of the sun. But moodadrishtihi, the deluded minded sees what? Sees the sun as though covered by the clouds. Does not know. In the same way, this Atma can never be covered by the Atma can never be bound. Atma is ever free Atma, which can never be bound. Isn't it? That Atma is mistaken to be the bound. By whom? By the deluded minded. So this person, in the perception of the deluded minded, Atma, the ever free Atma, appears to be bound. Just as the perception of the deluded person, the non-coverable sun seems to be covered by the, is seemingly covered by the clouds, is mistaken for to be really covered by the clouds. See clear? That's what he says. Ghanachannaha arkaha. See, ghanachanna drishtihi. Ghanachanna drishtihi. Ghanachanna markam. Yatha nishprabham manyate. Ghanachanna drishtihi. See, when the clouds cover the sun, okay, the sun is not covered by the clouds, but your drishti, isn't it? Your vision is what now? Your vision is covered, distorted by the clouds. So ghanachanna drishtihi, when my eyes are covered by the clouds, the person mistakes it what? Ghanachannam arkam. He sees the sun has to be covered by the clouds, seeming covered. Nishprabham manyate. Oh, nishprabaha. The sun, he thinks that now sun is nishprabaha, prabharahitaha. He looks at the sun as, sun without the light. Nishprabham manyate. He thinks sun has no brightness. Non-bright sun, non-brilliant sun. He mistakes the saprabham arkam nishprabham manyate. The ever-brilliant sun is mistaken for non-brilliant sun. Ever-brilliant, ever-blazing sun, he mistakes the ever-brilliant, ever-blazing sun for the non-brilliant sun, non-shining sun. Nishprabham manyate. Prabharahitam manyatana karudhukiran. Oli atradaha karudhukiran. Suryanai oli atravanaha parkiran. Nishprabham manyate. Who? Cha atimudaha. Cha and atimudaha means he is not ordinarily deluded. He is highly deluded. Atimudaha. Sometimes Shankara only calls Moodha. He says Atimodha. Okay. Moodhajaihi. Bajagu when you padicha eduttavudane. Moodhajaihi. Moodhamate. He says Moodha he calls. Moodha. But here he says what? Atimodha. Atimodha. Only highly deluded. Completely there is no discriminative knowledge at all. You mistake the anatma for the atma. And you cannot able to discriminate what is water, what is wave, what is water, what is ocean, what is substance, what is, substantive. You are not able to distinguish, differentiate. There is no discriminative knowledge of what is satyam, what is mithya, no knowledge. Therefore, atimodaha, to highly deluded person, mistakes the ever-brilliant, ever-blazing sun for the non-brilliant, sun, and seeing what? Having his vision being covered by clouds, and seeing the seemingly covered, the sun seemingly covered with the clouds. In the same way, this atimodaha, and the deluded person, the person in the deluded minded mistakes the, in the perception of the deluded minded, the ever free Atma, Nitya Muktaha Atma seems to be mistaken for what? Nitya Baddaha. Ever free Atma is mistaken for ever bound Atma. Which ever-free Atma is mistaken for Baddha, bound Atma, and that Atma I am that Atma, which is ever-free, but which is mistaken to be ever bound. Got it? We try to say it in Tamil. மேகங்களால் மறைக்கப்பட்ட பார்வையுடையவன் மேகங்களால் மறைக்கப்பட்டது போன்று தோன்றுகின்ற சூரியனை ஒளியற்றதாக கருதுகிறான். எப்படி கருதுகிறானோ அப்படி எந்த மூடனுடைய திருஷ்டியிலே பந்தப்பட்டது போன்று இருக்கிறது ஆத்மா, பந்தப்படாத ஆத்மா நம்ம சேர்த்துக்கணும், அந்த ஆத்மா நான். சரியா தனமா? பத்தவத் பாத்தினா, பாத்தினா விளங்குகிறது. இட் சீம்ஸ் டு பி பவுண்ட், இட் அப்பியர்ஸ் டு பி பவுண்ட். பட் வாட் இஸ் what we should understand now, which is ever free, we have to add, supply the word. The ever free atma, which seems to be bound in the perception of a deluded person, okay, deluded, and that ever free atma I am, which seems to be bound, appears to be bound. So actually the sun is ever never covered, but the clouds cover my perception, my vision. Isn't it? My drishti, my vision is covered by the clouds. Because when my vision is covered by the clouds, when I cannot see the sun, then the clouds seem to be covering the sun. But if I'm deluded, what do I think? I don't think that the clouds are seen because of the presence of the sun. The sun can never be covered, I don't see the fact. Anyway, the clouds seemingly covering the sun also is seen because of the very presence of the sun. But still I mistake what I think. I think as though the sun is covered by the clouds. In the same way, this ever-free Atma seems to be bound in the perception of the deluded mind. The one who does not distinguish the I from the Anatma and sees the truth of the I being Atma, I am Atma, who does not see, that person think what? See, mistakes is I the Atma to be bound. That's what he says. Is it clear?
Yaha is Atma. Yaha.
Abba, Amma.
So, Mooda Drishti is the person, Yaha
Atma. Yeah. Yaha Atma, no. Yaha Atma Baddhavat Bhati. I can tell you this, the first order. See, Ati Moodaha, you can write the sentence. Simple sentence, write it down. It will be easy for you to remember Sanskrit. Ati Moodaha Purushaha. Voice 3, you does not write, okay? Ati Moodaha Purushaha. கணைஹி மேகைஹி சன்ன திருஷ்டிஹி அதிமூடஹா புருஷஹா கணைஹி மேகைஹி சன்ன திருஷ்டிஹி அதிமூடஹா புருஷஹா. No, I said, okay, adjective, I put the adjective. Ghanaihi meghaihi channa drishtihi atimudaha purushaha. Ghanaihi channam arkam. Ghanaihi meghaihi channam arkam. Nishprabham manyate. Ganehi Channam Arkam Nishprabham Manyate. I'll repeat the sentence again once. I'm leaving Yatha. Listen. Ganehi Meghehi Channa Drishtihi Atimudaha Purushaha Ganehi Channam Arkam Nishprabham Manyate. Full stop. Stop. Now. Mooda drishtihi Mooda drishtihi Purushaha. So you don't understand, okay? Mooda drishtihi Purushaha means what? Deluded minded.
Of course, is it really? Look at our own.
Four. Okay. See.
Female exaggeration. Masculine.
Okay. Okay. Mooda drishtihi purushaha. Mooda drishtihi purushaha, mooda atma purushaha, okay? Mooda drishtihi purushaha.
Yaha tattavat bhati manyate.
Mooda drishtihi purushaha. Nitya muktam atmanam. Nitya muktam atmanam. Nitya muktam atmanam baddhavat pashyati.
Then bhati?
Pashyati, I said pashyati. No, I changed the sentence. Pashyati, I said. Now, you want the exact what is there in the thing. Like this. The whole first sentence, you have to repeat it, okay? Ganehi meghehi channa drishtihi atimudaha ganehi channam arkam yatha nishprabham manyate tatha Yaha Nitya Muktaha Atma Tatha Mooda Drishtehe Yaha Nitya Muktaha Atma Baddhavat Bhati Tatha Mooda drishtehe purushasya, you want. Tatha mooda drishtehe purushasya, yaha nitya muktaha atma baddhavat bhati. Yaha nitya muktaha atma baddhavat bhati, saha nitya upalabdhi swarupaha atma aham. Is it clear now? I can do this whole prahad clear panala, but I'm just telling you. I don't want to take much of that. You want people to feel bored with the Sanskrit lesson and not doing much. At least now you know this, isn't it? See what happened. The first sentence is in nominative. See, atimodaha manyate. Second sentence, in the perception of the individual person, atma appears to be bound in the same. Then it has changed. That's why I said, pashyati, I said. Mooda drishti, nitya muktam atmanam baddhavat pashyati, I said. Is it clear? Manyate pashyati, I said. Because it goes together.
But mood drishti is 6-1,
yeah? 6-3. Yeah. For the one who is delusion, in the perception of, I said, of mood drishti, yeah? See, the very deluded vision about the Kathana Taptapa. Very careful here writing. Very nice verses. Do you see this? Beautiful verses. See, lot of things already you know. Therefore, when you read the verse, you find it easy. See, we can elaborate on this verse, you know, a little bit. See, first take, understand the example first. This arkaha, suryaha, is of the nature of brilliance. What is Swarupa of the Arkaha, Suryaha? Brilliance, Prakashaha, Swaprakashaha, Swayam Prakashaha. No, the sun is ever of the nature of brilliance. Therefore, there's never does the sun become non-brilliant, dark. Nishprabha, prabha rahitaha kadapina bhavati. Arkaha, nishprabha kadapina bhavati. The sun never becomes non-brilliant or dark. Why? Because sun is of the nature of brilliance, ever of the nature of brilliance. How he takes example, you see, sun is ever of the nature of brilliance. And this sun, which is ever of the nature of brilliance, is, no, this person, Mooda drishtihi, the one whose perception is distorted, the person of distorted vision, distorted perception, no, in the person, distorted vision. How does the one whose vision is distorted by the clouds, the one whose the drishti is covered by the clouds, one whose vision is covered by the clouds, distorted by the clouds, thereby the distorted perception, the distorted perception, considers, sees, thinks that the sun, non-coverable, ever-brilliant sun to be non-brilliant sun. And what is the fact? The sun can never be covered by the clouds. The very fact that clouds are seen is what? No, is because of the very presence of the sun. It is the presence of the sun, the blessing of the sun. Because the blessing of the sun, the very clouds enjoy their existence being seen. The very perception of the clouds is possible because the presence of the sun. Without the sun, the clouds cannot even be seen. And the clouds are seen only because of the presence of the sun, in the presence of the sun. And these clouds seem to be covering the sun, appear to be covering the sun. And the fact that the clouds appear to be covering the sun also is seen because of the very sun. But the mood of drishti does not understand this fact. What does he think? Arkam nishprabham manyate. He considers, he thinks that sun is non-brilliant. Sun is devoid of brilliance. In the same way, what is the Atma here? Atma is ever of the nature of freedom, ever of the nature of fullness, ever of the nature of limitlessness. And this person, whose buddhi, whose intellect is covered by the ignorance of the Atma. So who is covered by the ignorance? The intellect is covered by the ignorance. Therefore, the one who is ignorant minded, being covered by the ignorance, and mistakes this ever-free Atma, Atma which is ever of the nature of limitlessness, to be the limited being or the bound. Ever-free Atma mistakes ever-free Atma to be bound. So, nitya muktam atmanam baddhavat pashyati. So, he puts it differently. In the perception of the ignorant, deluded mind means what? In the perception of the ignorant person, the ever-free Atma, being covered by the ignorance, appears to be bound. The very fact that the Atma appears to be bound is because of the partner. Appears to be bound because of the presence of the Atma. He is speaking, he cannot even see that.
He is talking about us.
Not us. He is talking about every individual, every human being. All the Ajnani he is talking about. So Hastamalaka says what? And I am that Atma which appears to be, which is ever-free Atma, which seems to be bound in the books of an ignorant person. I am. He doesn't say I am the bound Atma which appears to be bound. I am Atma which is ever-free but appears to be bound in the books of an ignorant person. Is it clear? So sometimes the Sanskrit compounds all of that. Mooda drishtihi, you know. So the drishti, if that it means literally, it means vision. We should take it as a perception, the perception of the deluded. In the perception of the ever deluded minded, the perception of the person of delusion, the ever-free Atma appears to be, seems to be bound. And that Atma which seems to be bound, which is not really bound, which is ever-free, is myself, which is ever of the nature of knowledge. I am that Atma. As he says. So by telling all these things, what? Ultimately we are supposed to understand what? This I is essentially the reality, which is ever of the nature of knowledge, which is of the nature of, which is essence, limitlessness. Okay, we'll read the verse and we'll go.
Ghanachanna drishtir ghanachanna markam. Ghanachanna-drishtir-ghanachanna-markam Yathanish-prabham-manyate-chati-moodha Yathanish-prabham-manyate-chati-moodha Tathabaddhavad-bhati-yo-moodha-drishtehe Sanityopalabdhisvarupohamatma Ghanachanna drishtir ghanachanna markam Yathanish prabham manyate chati moodha Tatha baddha vadbhati o moodha drishtehe
Tatha baddha vadbhati
Tatabhadhavadbhati.
Yo moodha drishtehe.
Yo moodha drishtehe.
Sanityopalabdhisvarupohamatma.
Sanityopalabdhisvarupohamatma.
Okay, one more thing what is important is the reality attaining in the form of pure knowledge. The reality is only in the form of pure knowledge. We ask, in what form does reality obtain? Reality obtains only in the form of pure knowledge. And therefore, you arrive at reality in terms of its nature of knowing. And that reality, therefore, implied by the term jnanam, isn't it? That knowledge is ever free, ever free. But that knowledge remains covered. Knowledge is, there's a known knowledge is created. And the knowledge of the truth also is what? Not created. No, reality, it is sorupam of all knowledge. Reality, which is of the nature of knowing, is the sorupam, the truth, the source, the source of all manifestations. The manifestation is what? The vritti jnanam. The source of manifestation is what? Pure knowledge. Sarupa jnanam. Understand? The manifestation is vritti jnanam. The source of knowledge, the reality which is of the nature of knowledge, is what? Pure jnanam, shuddha jnanam, sarupa jnanam. Understand? So, sarupam means what? The truth, the very reality which is of the nature of knowledge is sarupa jnanam, which is source of all forms of knowledge, is vritti jnanam. Therefore, no knowledge is created here. Knowledge is already, the storehouse of knowledge is already there. No knowledge is created. Knowledge remains what? Covered. Knowledge remains covered. So every piece of cognition is what now? Discovery of what is knowledge. Isn't it? Knowledge remains covered actually. So discovery of what is knowledge. And of what is absolutely. Isn't it? What is relatively you discover. It's all aparavidya. What is absolutely? The discovery of what is jnanam, knowledge. What is covering the reality now? Ignorance. The non-coverable reality, because of the presence of which ignorance itself shines. Isn't it? Where does ignorance shine? You understand this. Where does ajnanam shine? So how do the clouds shine? The clouds which seem to be covering the sun shine because of the presence of the very presence of the sunlight. The same way, ajnanam, ignorance, which is covering the reality, isn't it? Shines because of the very presence of the knowledge. What is the sarupam? The ajnanam itself is shining because of the knowledge only, reality. So ajnanam cannot cover jnanam. But ajnanam, isn't it? But here the ajnanam covers the knowledge, seems to be covering. Therefore, discovery of what is what? Knowledge. So knowledge is not created. No knowledge is created. No knowledge is created. How, whatever discoveries come in future, that's what I'm saying. In future, the new scientists, our children who are present, the children, the future can become great scientists. And they can discover more and more and more, much subtler facts in all field, disciplines of science, physics, chemistry, biology, botany, every discipline, they can, new, subtle, much subtler facts can be discovered. So, doesn't matter. The new discoveries will be new, okay? but they are not created. This is only the new discovery of what has been there timelessly. Any fact is what? Any fact is discovery of what has been there timelessly. Even no knowledge is created. The discovery of what is knowledge, isn't it? No knowledge is created. Irupadai paarthale jnanam. அது பார்க்க முடியறதில்லை. So you need a special thing. And for which here also you need a special vritti has to be created for that. And the pramanam, Vedanta Shastra pramanam, helps you, helps in having that vritti. Isn't it? Pramanam helps you have that vritti. Shastra pramanam. Then you can see how it is. The verse is clear, isn't it? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Rubhyo Namaha Hari Om. Very sorup means limitlessness.
You said something at the very end that's bothered, but I don't understand. Pramanam.
No, pramanam.
And the vritti pramanam. Did you mean the akhanda asara vritti? Do you mean that?
No, when the pramanam is operated, for any vritti, pramanam is important, isn't it? Shastra pramanam helps you. See, Radhanaji, what I'm saying, there's an object outside, isn't it? But for that object out, you know the object outside, the corresponding vritti has to rise for the object to be perceived, isn't it? Without the reality in the form of consciousness, the vritti cannot even rise, first of all. Isn't it? Vritti has to rise for the knowledge, isn't it? For the cognition to be there. So, but still there's a pramanam, the seeing power is also important. The vritti, isn't it? So, for the vritti to rise again, for a given object to be perceived, this pramanam is important, for the jnanam, isn't it? Pramanam also is important here. The pramanam itself is helpless. The given pramanam helps you arrive at the given object. Even the pramanam also is functioning because of the antakana vritti. The same way here, you need the particular pramanam is needed here for the vritti, for the antakana vritti to rise. How your seeing power is pramanam in having the jnanam, having the jnanam of a given object. Similarly here, the shastram is the pramanam. It enables you see what is. Shastram does not The Shastram also, see, the thing is, Shastram does not reveal the object to you. Helps you arrive at the object, the arrive at the vastu, through negation. Isn't it? We said, Shabda Pramanam. See, the words can describe only the object which is of nature of attributes. The attribute, isn't it? An object, given object must have the attributes. Only then can be described. The words can serve as means of knowledge. But Shastra's words, how did they reveal the vastu? By negating what the vastu is not, they help you arrive at it. Isn't it? So for a kshatriya vritti to rise, vritti rise means what? See, now you are study, now you are, how Shastra's words are helping you. Shastra's words, with unfolded carefully, definitely they give you such understanding. That's what I mentioned. I'm a little over-excited, so I just, a little more than that, what is said, being said. See, it is like this. Without the pramanam, without the means of knowledge, no knowledge is possible. Isn't it? You need a pramanam, definitely. But pramanam alone will not be useful. The pramanam, your intellect must be there. Without your intellect, without the buddhi, pramanam will be of no use. Without your intellect, pramanam will be useless. Your intellect without the pramanam will be inadequate. You have the capacity to understand energy. You have the buddhi to understand. But your seeing power is not there. The light is non-existent for you. You have the intellect. The blind people have the buddhi. Understand? Where buddhis can arise. But the pramana, seeing power is not there. So what happens? The object called light is non-existent for them. So buddhi without pramanam will be inadequate.
So the pramanam in this case is
a shuti.
In which case it is
worth. Let me make it very clear. Buddhi, intellect, the person who is blind has intellect or not? The blind person, he has intellect. It's highly intelligent, we say sometimes. Intellect is there. But a given pramanam is not there. Therefore, what happens, even though intellect is there, the given pramanam being not there, the given object is as well as non-existent for the person. So, intellect without the pramanam is inadequate. But pramanam without intellect is useless. Imagine, the person has a very clear eyes. But somewhere, you know, mentally, the gone cases, we hear the depressed and dejected, and then the people who are, the mentally retarded. The intellect is not okay, because they have very good seeing power. But see, the pramanam without the buddhi will be what? Useless. Buddhi without pramanam is inadequate. Similarly here. So pramanam also contributes for something called a jnanam to be there. But that jnanam is only not from outside. Whatever rises as jnanam, so with the intellect, the buddhi and the pramanam, when the knowledge rises, that knowledge is only what? Manifestation of what is already, of the object which seems to be outside. Is it clear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm not interested in the object.
Let me come one by one. You have, see, don't be in a hurry. The hurry only is the fast thing. In the same way here, and here what is to be known happens to be the one-so-and-so swarupam, not an object. This I told many times in the class. Many times I told. What is to be discovered, what is to be arrived at, happens to be not an object. As once, no, jnatahu swarupam, natu jnayam, happens to be the very truth of the knower, the one who operates the very pramanam. This is a special pramanam in terms of the shastra shabda, shastra shabda pramanam, shastra pramanam. And when the shastra pramanam is used appropriately, you have your buddhi is also there, your buddhi intellectual capacity with the pramanam properly operated, then what happens? It produces a given vritti. Then there is manifestation of knowledge in a thought for which Vishayaha is not an object or own swarupam, which is called akhanda akara vritti jnanam. Vritti jnanam only. Why? Vrittehe Vishayaha, the object of the vritti, the knowledge. The knowledge for which the subject matter is what? Your own swarupam. And that reality is of the nature of all pervasiveness, limitlessness, one indivisible, partless whole, timeless, spatially, object-wise, limitless reality. Akhanda vastu. Akhandam vastu. Just because akhanda vastu is arrived at as the swarupam of the khanda vritti, that is I. Understand? Therefore, there is a problem here. You arrive at the akhanda vastu as the swarupam of the khanda vrittihi obtaining of I. It is like you arrive at the water, which is the truth of the entire ocean, as the truth of one small wave. Isn't it? Once you arrive at the reality, which is akhanda vastu, and that particular vritti, when you understand, oh my, no? The truth of this truth of this I is of the nature of limitless, all-pervasive reality. You understand that vritti for which subject matter, the object is the akhanda vastu, not a time-bound. Time-wise, spatially, object-wise, limitless reality. Therefore, it's akhanda akara vritti jnanam. See, the thought assumes the form of what is revealed. The thought assumes the form of what is revealed. And when this particular thought, you know, this vritti jnanam, this vritti, when you appreciate the reality in terms of its nature of all pervasiveness, the vritti is what? Vritti also is assumed. Rakhandakara. It's called Khandakara vritti jnanam. Don't worry. There will be a time I will talk about again process of knowledge. It will become very clear. It's already clear only, but something will be there. I did teach this long ago. Yeah. Now what I'm saying, what pramanam does. Yeah, no, so many questions should come, okay. It's okay, no problem. But I'm just saying, as we repeated listening is good. Swamiji always says, keep on listening, keep on listening. He so told that. At least whatever you heard in the class, there, whatever is said, now in light of these verses, what you have understood, there is no doubt, isn't it? That is clear. That is enough.
When you say
that is akhandatvam, the limitlessness in terms of time, space and object, akhandatvam, indivisibility, of the Atma, the pervasiveness. The Swarupam has to be understood. Repeated dwelling will help you. You want to repeat and dwell upon that Akhandatvam, the vritti assumes that Akhandatvam.
Is it, suppose someone tells me that I'm being selfish. That is something about my nature. Not my intrinsic nature, okay, but the rest, it's similar. It's my swabhava. I'm being selfish. I don't appreciate I'm being selfish. Then gradually, or suddenly, whatever it is, then I suddenly understand, yes, I see what he means, I'm being selfish. That vritti, which shows me that I am being selfish, is a vritti about me. Now, it may not be the same degree as pure knowledge, but at least it's in the same kind of category. It's about the experience. It's about me. When that vritti happens, then I understand in that moment that I am being or have been selfish.
This is something.
Is that vritti is taking the appearance, the form of my selfishness for me to recognize it for what it is in my activity. Is that what you mean? Is that what is meant here by this akhanda akara vritti? Is it
the meaning of the word?
Well, then it's what I'm saying.
The meaning of the word, this is something different. It is very very gross. But the akhandatvam, anything.
I'm trying to get how it is operating the same way. Is it similar in its operation to the thing I've just described? Where suddenly I
vritti assumes the form of an object. That's how there's a cognition. Again, don't think anything physical here. Very subtle. Vritti assuming a form of an object means don't take it in the gross sense.
Okay. In that case, I don't understand. My comparison isn't valid, and I really don't understand. I don't see how else, what else the thought can do except this akhanda akara vritti. What else it can do except to somehow mirror, somehow reflect this limitlessness, which is my real nature. It must, how else does it show it to me? How else does it confirm to me that all my views about myself are wrong? How else? It must mirror it in some way. Just as my behavior is mirrored in the other person's response, you're a selfish bastard.
See, you try to objectify that. That is not, no, that's not. That's what I'm saying. Here, when this Shastra Pramanam, when it works, what is revealed is not as an object. It is Swarupam, that's what I'm saying.
I get that. But my
that is why
nature is selfish. You've been selfish.
Which, who is the Rajaji? That's all.
Where's the difference? Where's the difference? Where am I going wrong in my thinking? Well, it is a characteristic, isn't it? I'm just using it as an example of the characteristic.
See, characteristic again is the condition of the thought, mind. The thought. See, kind of thought which explains the behavior. The selfishness is a characteristic condition of the mind which is expressed in the behavior.
Yes.
As all objects.
But that doesn't matter.
No, okay.
What matters is a sudden appreciation of yes, that's true. In that moment of recognition of yes, you've been kind, yes, you've been selfish, whatever it matters, doesn't matter. In that moment of recognition, something new is understood. That's the point I'm trying to make. And in that moment, that vritti is showing you something new which you hadn't appreciated until that moment. That's what I want to get at. That's what the akhanda akara vritti is doing.
So maybe,
that's my question.
So maybe he's saying ignorance of his selfishness is gone with that thought. They're already selfish. Sorry, I'm just using that as an example. But that ignorance is removed, no? And then that, oh, I am selfish, that comes. So it's like, the ignorance of Atma is removed.
The fact of the matter is now revealed, and I acknowledge it as being real, as true. Before that, it was just a theory. Like a person who wants to give up smoking. You know, he doesn't really appreciate it. He knows all the theory, he knows it's bad for him. My father would rather have had a cigarette than a meal, and that was a fact. He never got to the point where the cigarette was seen for what it really was. If he had, he would have given it up. My son, on the other hand, has made that leap. He suddenly somewhere saw that cigarettes really were that. That notion had impact, and he realized the truth of it. And he's never smoked since. There must be, surely there's some comparable situation. The impact of the truth does change. Even if it's only a superficial thing like smoking, it must be something similar, I thought. But then maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
See, those are all connected with those objects. But what I'm saying, even when your swarupam is unfolded, every step, see, limitlessness is such a limitlessness or fullness. Being a swarupa, the reality is unfolded very carefully. Three words are used, not one word, to say how to make you understand how it is limitless or fullness, isn't it? See, to say, you first is shown how time is. As it is unfolded, how reality is free from time limitation. As I'm saying, you're seeing the fact how time is limitless, how space is limitless, how it is limitless, one by one is shown. Therefore, all the three limitations are not there. You understand the meaning of the word limitlessness only in terms of how it is free from all the three limitations. As you're understanding, there's already vritti.
Again.
The understanding as it unfolded, as you're listening, as understanding, there's a vritti.
Yes. Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, that's how, exactly how the teaching gets clear.
Yeah.
That is
what I said. This one, because the first time you're listening, the vritti comes and then suddenly it goes again. Mm-hmm. That's why we say it's more assimilation is important.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying. There's nothing special about it. That's all.
So it is similar in process. So the understanding dawns gradually, clearer and clearer. Yes. Okay.
Sometimes some words we say may cause some ambiguity.
Right.
Sometimes what we say, the way we say, may cause some ambiguity. That is why Swamiji always says, be careful in using the words. And we only say what is enough. Don't say more or less in the class. It was clear, wasn't it? That's what Swamiji says always. Teaching is giving vision. Giving vision is teaching. Making this listener see what the speaker sees is teaching. Because repeatedly I say something, and then I hypnotize you, I mesmerize you, I make you believe what I say, it is blabbering. I'm preaching. But repeatedly 100 times I say, I make you believe there's heaven, you keep on listening, you keep on, because Shraddha, you come and listen to me, okay? 1,000 times I say, and somehow it just goes into your head, there's heaven. Start believing it, because I repeatedly say this, and then not even understanding, it is preaching. I intrude into your intellect, I make you believe what I say, that is preaching. It's teaching, just making other person see what you see. But you must see. Only then you can make other person see. If you don't see, whatever you teach, no, the person will stay wherever the person is. Okay. Is it clear now? Let's go. That's why in the morning class, the Brahma Gyanavali Mala is taken this time for our understanding. Mainly for that, you see, you are with every word.